This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and men keep sliding into my DMs, but when will one slide into my heart?
I'm Brandy Posey, and oh no, once again, I'm too tired to walk from my car to my house. I guess I live in my car now.
Oh yeah.
I'm Tess Barker, and thank God I have this massive collection of Pez dispensers. Otherwise, I'd be totally fucked for retirement.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Barbara. Well, you already know that.
Yeah, you guys.
Probably.
You just heard our names. It would be weird if you picked up here.
Yeah, yeah.
People that really hate the theme song just skip the first 45 seconds every time.
How could you hate our theme song? It's
you
so great.
Shout out to Zach Games.
Shout out to Zach Games for recording that 50 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
It was written on a clavichord.
Feels like it's been. How
is that a harpsichord made out of bones?
Yeah, I made it up. It's a clavichord.
Isn't that what a skeleton plays when they play bones?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I love a dancing skeleton. I just do. They're cute. They're always adorable. Yeah. That's one of my favorite cartoons as a kid.
It's a good one. I like my favorite cartoon from when I was a kid is where the bears are picking up the trash with their butts. Bum-ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Do you know that one?
Is that related to Charmin?
Oh!
It's in the same collection as the skeleton
one. Yes, yes, yes. I know. Oh, man.
It's, and the park ranger gets pissed at them. It's a Disney cartoon, and it came with like a Goofy movie. And it's honestly the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's all the classical music, and the bears are picking up trash. And then whenever it goes boom, 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 then they tap their butts together.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
I like you said that's the funniest thing you've ever seen. It's like, oh God, what are we doing in comedy? I give up.
I just put bears picking and then it went up trash Disney. It just filled
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Bears picking up trash Disney. Everybody
can see. It
wasn't
bears picking up single.
No, it wasn't bears picking up lost.
It wasn't bears in.
Bears bearing it all.
What is it called? Pickup artist.
Pickup
class?
Artist bears.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring on our guests. She's so funny. She's a very good friend, and I love her. Robin Morrison.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting.
Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm.
It's very cozy. I like this room.
Yeah, the glam cave.
It's a real good
It feels right, doesn't
it? Very glam, very cave-like.
Everyone's welcome, including our dolls. And the busts that I got at the Vatican Museum.
We have dolls that someone made of us over there staring at you. Tez's Pez dispenser is here.
You may as well call them the Tez.
We shouldn't talk about it. Someone's going to take them.
Oh, you're right. This is my bounty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll come in here and get your retirement.
Okay, but this is what you're gonna when you and Sean get married. His family will get the Pez dispenser.
Yeah, they come in my hope chest, which is actually just
your trousseau.
My trousseau, which is actually just a Converse shoebox that I've kept since 1996. I'm gonna put all the Pez dispensers in a Converse shoebox and present them.
Okay, but those are TNG Pez dispensers.
They're pretty sick.
Yeah, they're pretty
dope. Like the other ones are fine, but
way,
I mean, the Kiss ones are very good.
The Kiss ones are dope. I mean, do you see my Elvis ones?
The Elvis ones are nice.
The Elvis ones are
two
great.
Two sets of TNG, 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Honestly, wait, Robin, do you love TNG?
I do.
One
it's
of amazing. Those is yours. I don't need two. I'm not kidding.
Tess?
I'm serious.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm also excited.
I didn't even have to get married to get
that. I
Robin
liked Next Generation.
I love Next Generation.
This makes me so happy.
I love Next Generation.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
Who do you guys think you're the most like?
Picard,
I'm sorry,
Data. No.
No, it's fine. You have to tell me who I'm most like. I don't know.
Oh, who's Tess most like?
Fucking Worf over here.
Oh. What does that mean? That feels like it's not a good thing.
She's like,
no. I'm kidding.
I feel like I'm a, you're a Riker. Beverly Crusher.
You're Riker and Risa. That's over here.
Riker and Risa is a great, that's a great Riker. Actually, I feel like I'm like the William T. Riker when they split and he goes like the,
the one who lives on the planet
for like 7 years and then by himself. And then
the one that becomes a Maquis in DS9. Yeah, no big deal.
That's deep.
Rewatching DS9. Space Nine, right there. It rules. DS9 is so good. Risa is a planet. It's a fuck planet.
A fuck planet?
Yeah.
It's
and just I'm the planet?
It's a vacation planet.
You're Riker, who's Jonathan
when
Frakes,
the beard.
When he
goes there and he's just wearing like gauzy, he's having a good time.
Okay. So you're number one on vacation at a fuck planet.
I love it.
Who I think you are.
And, I love it.
And don't forget that you have to step over your chair every time you get into your chair. Yes. If you've all seen that supercut.
Yeah, he's the tallest one on the cast.
Makes sense.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I'm Tasha Yar because I've been dead for years. All right. Yay. whatever.
Sure, for sure, Picard, because I've lived my life trying to be like him.
And you have that time back when you like stabbed somebody and that changed your entire life?
Yeah, for sure.
That does sound like Brandy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, love
deep
him.
Skeletons dancing
stabby
in the closet.
Skeletons. Mm-hmm. Stabby dancing cartoon skeletons. The Brandy Posey story.
I think about Picard a lot, like in my day to day. I like
what is it? So pretend like if you had to describe Picard as though he was an astrological sign to me.
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
That's not...
Picard would know how to do that either.
Yeah, it is. It's easy.
I mean...
Like, what are the traits?
Loyal.
What are the traits of it? Thank you.
Loyal, thoughtful.
Decisive.
A leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leader.
Fair. Confident.
Okay. Yeah. I see it.
Yeah. All of these. Yeah.
Cerebral, but still very passionate man. Mm.
Deeply empathetic.
Yes.
Which he is. My favorite man. Mm. I love him so much. Yeah. He's also like... the man that I hold all men in my life to, but he's also the person that I see myself in the most of the cast.
Well,
which I think maybe makes me narcissistic. I don't know.
I think a lot of us do. I think that makes sense. So I think that's
he is the protagonist of that show. I mean, it's a, you know, it's an ensemble, but everybody sort of gravitates to Picard. Yeah. So you want to?
Sure. He's also like the only person in real life that I would maybe lose my shit over meeting is
and he seems so fun in real life. He seems so cool.
He is adorable.
Yeah. He's a good dude too. Oh man.
I mean, just his pit bull worked alone.
Yeah.
I turned it back. I
thought you meant the musician.
And also, it might be a coincidence, but I do also like Pitbull the musician, and I'm not afraid to say it. I was on board with Pitbull way back when he was collaborating with Kesha, who I've been a longtime advocate of.
Of course.
When everyone else was talking shit about Kesha before the Kesha Renaissance, I was here.
The Kesha Sans?
The Kesha Sans. I was here pre-Kesha Sans. With her and Pitbull.
Yeah, you're here for the pop diva.
Are you on board for the Pitbull Tony Robbins collab?
No. Is that happening?
Oh yeah, there's billboards all over Los Angeles.
Oh, I don't like Pitbull.
Yeah.
Wait, what are they doing together?
Conventions? I don't know. They're like on tour.
Pitbull's opening for Tony Robbins.
God damn it.
Is Tony Robbins the guy with the ponytail, or is he the guy with the cult?
He's the really tall giant. He's like a giant man who is very intense and talks about how you can change your life.
I never
he's
watched.
Yes. Yeah. He's in Shallow Hell, and he convinces.
Yeah,
I never watched Solid.
I think he's
watch
the.
Please watch
Jack
the Netflix documentary. It's honestly one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen. Please watch it. It reminds me. Yeah, I mean, just if you're interested in cults, which I assume everyone is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's fascinating because it's like. A lot of people, I mean, I found it very alarming and disturbing, but people who I think are normal watched it and they were like, yeah, he's pretty cool. I was like, how did you get that from the documentary?
Oh, and that's why I won't watch it because I know that's what will happen to me.
Oh, man.
I can't afford.
I don't think it will, Barb, because he's pretty like openly misogynistic.
I know, but I'm also very...
misogynistic? No,
listeners of the podcast know.
You're a real woman.
Gullible. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't. So, I actually
susceptible.
I would say this about both of us. I'm shocked that between the two of us, neither of us has joined a cult.
I know. Well, it's because I actively stay away from knowing anything.
I don't.
I'm also in a lot of text chains with good old Peace Stew over here. And guess what? I'll get you the fuck out of a cult so goddamn fast.
Oh my god. Now I want to see a movie of Patrick Stewart as a deprogrammer.
Yes.
Oh my god. Going in and like rescue it. Yes. White knighting it all up. I mean, in a good way.
In a good way. Saving us from a cult. Cult.
Yeah, that'd be great. Look, I would watch that movie. My God.
I've been setting money aside. I know what's going to happen sooner or later.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And honestly, the good thing is I feel like while I'm in the cult, I'll be able to save money. So hopefully I can get you back as soon as you.
But that's how most cults work. Have a job. They get your money.
Oh. Yeah, they steal
it. You can't go to work.
Well,
they slowly take your money and they make you get a job with somebody that is also in the cult. So then your whole life is tied up in the cult.
I know, but I'll make, sure I'm sticking some under the mattress for old Beepos.
But if they find out, then they put you in the box.
I don't know.
All these calls.
Actually, you guys have a bunch of money stashes.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, right. I don't have an anything stash. I'm too, like, ridiculous. I mean, like, I try to stash everything and I just remember.
You have a Pez stash. That's, don't sell yourself money. Short.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The only downside to LA is that there aren't really seasons, so I don't really have winter jackets full of money the way that I used to growing up.
I know. I do miss finding a 20 or something.
I did just put on these shorts today and found 10 bucks.
Oh, that's shit. Nice.
Hell yeah.
Summer
that's
money.
That's fucking dope.
I like that.
Yeah. So I guess you would say, yeah, I have that kind of stash where, like, I'm just a mess, and so there are things that I forget. Yeah. And then reward myself
with
later.
That is the nice thing about being that person, mm-hmm. though. You were constantly being rewarded by the shit you forgot about.
Exactly.
I mean, also not also the opposite.
No. And mostly the opposite. But, like, every once in a while, it's good. It's like how credit cards are mostly put you in debt, but every once in a while, you get a free umbrella.
Exactly. Sure.
Which is great for Los Angeles.
Yes.
Very useful.
Yes.
Look, sometimes a tornado stops and all the shit is just there. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's great.
The Taz.
Tasmanian
Devil. The Taz dispenser.
The Taz. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have to tell you guys about someone I met.
Oh my God. Who?
Can't
so
wait.
Whitney and Adam's wedding was last weekend. It was very fun. Tess was there. Mm-hmm. It was a really awesome wedding. And one of Adam's oldest friends came with his new girlfriend. And she is from Transylvania.
No.
Can you be really from
this? This is a fake person.
She's from Transylvania.
Does she look like
Did you see a passport?
Vampire?
I didn't see a passport. She had an accent that sounded, I guess, Transylvanian.
Did she have a cape?
She didn't have a cape. She was just
Did
like
she have
a,
sharpened incisors?
She was an olive-skinned brunette woman.
Okay.
Okay.
Who,
okay.
Whose job
Oh boy.
Is that she is a phlebotomist.
A what?
She's a person who draws blood from Transylvania.
Ooh. What?
That is a phlebotomist is somebody who that is their job. They draw blood.
That's so creepy.
And I was like,
this is
insane.
But that's like a modern vampire living undercover in the world.
Somebody said they were like, that's like a horror movie. Like at a wedding and you meet a like somebody and you're God. Like, oh, and you suspect that they're a vampire the whole time and then like eventually start killing people off.
Yes.
We're not called vampires anymore. We're called phlebotomists.
Yeah. Okay. It's 2018.
So what if I suck the blood and I don't just put it in a vial?
Right. With a syringe.
Isn't that so funny? I was just like, this is ridiculous.
Was there anything else like Dracula-ish about her?
I mean, she was spindly, I guess.
Sure.
You could say. So.
She had very translucent skin. Yeah. She sparkled.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't see her reflection in anything.
Hold her up to mirror. Was she there
the garlic?
During the day?
Yeah, it was just so dumbly, like such
That's
a dumb
really funny.
Coincidence.
Was that the first time you learned the word phlebotomist?
No, I knew that because I had an ex.
Okay, why did you know the word phlebotomist already?
I'm learning this for the first time.
My ex-boyfriend, like in college, was studying to be that or something.
Phlebotomy.
He became a phlebotomist. Yeah.
I guess I always thought
because he was bit by another.
I thought they were nurses.
yeah, he was bit.
Yeah, another phlebotomist.
Another phlebotomist drew his blood once,
and then he got a master's degree, and
now he lives forever.
It's very expensive to become a vampire these days.
It is.
Yeah, you gotta get a 4-year degree.
So much studying. You just gotta like burn that midnight oil.
That's
with the
why
books.
I don't really. They've earned it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess if you have all the time in the world, you may as well study.
You would get bored of watching TV and reading the internet
eventually.
But
you're studying the thing that you are. Like,
that you already are.
Yeah.
I guess that's all of religion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly. Did she think it was funny?
I never talked to her about it.
Okay.
I wish I had.
So this is wedding gossip around
so,
her.
So like Adam told me that and I only hung out with her once. We were all in a hot tub and I didn't want to be like, hey, so you're like, I just didn't felt weird bringing it up there.
I feel like you've got to address it though.
I'm never going to see her again.
No, I mean her. She has like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had talked to her about it directly, but there was just not really a chance. Mm-hmm. I just thought, and I was like, what if I say something and then I die.
Yeah. Wow. See, what do you call somebody from Transylvania?
I think Transylvanian.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
I don't know. But it was an interesting just little tidbit.
Wow. That's fun. Spooky.
It was spooky.
Did she say no bull idea. A lot?
She laughed at us because Adam was asking her if pickles were popular over there. And then she thought that was very funny.
If pickles were popular in
Transylvania? I don't know. She never really answered the question.
Because my guess would be that they would be very popular.
Yeah. They're salty like blood.
Yeah. Yeah. And also they just feel kind of Eastern European.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because right? you have to preserve the few vegetables that you
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have refrigeration. That's not true.
Yeah.
I have been to Vlad the Impaler's castle, though.
Really?
Where's that?
Romania.
Ooh, that's Romania. Oh, wow. Yeah.
What's his deal? What'd he do?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like the first vampire, kind of. He was like,
oh, really?
It was like based on mm-hmm. him. And yeah, so it's this like tumble down castle, and you can like crawl through it in this small town in Romania.
What's a tumble down castle?
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's kind like of falling down? Into repair, oh, like falling oh, into I disrepair. Yeah.
I was like, what is that? You start like at the top and you like
you somersault down these like spiral staircases Whee! Into this basement. You know, you just break a leg or two. It's fine. It's real fun.
It's a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. The first vampire lived in a Chuck E.
Cheese castle. For adults.
They're really good.
That would be pretty cool. Sick.
Is that just escape rooms?
Yeah, what's the deal? Is that trend going out now?
It's gone. You won't catch me at one. Absolutely
not. We said
not.
We were going to go into one and record it.
Remember? No.
Why don't you do it? Because you don't like games?
It's the ultimate game. Yeah. I'm not doing
to
this
me,
shit.
It's a board game in person.
Yeah.
It feels like you're going to end up in a basement, too. Like,
no,
to me,
not.
I don't know. What? I kind of feel like, oh, we did an escape room, and then you never hear from somebody again, and then you're in somebody's basement. These basement guys, I feel like that's the next step in their evolution.
No, you don't. The basement guys do that with their own children, so we're safe.
Okay. All right, fair.
They're doing that with the children that they have.
It just feels too like, oh, I'm role-playing it being in a basement. I don't know if
and
that's
right.
And
you're in a locked room with no windows.
I
there
mean,
are no
I guess
windows,
I
definitely.
Wish that yeah. I felt like there were stakes like that. I feel like it's just all so like Groupon-rific. It's like, oh, that's a real, I'm sure that's a real ticking bomb.
Groupon-rific.
I'm terrified.
They did have several pop-up escape rooms at the Renaissance Festival this year. And I was not going to do it, but no. It made me laugh really fucking hard.
They're also like rent
$30.
To me,
so
that's like probably such a huge, that's exactly, there's such, yeah. to me, in my head, such a crossover between escape room people and rent fair people, and I'll be over here at
okay.
the beach.
Wait, Tess, what is it? What isn't there a lot of? Aren't a lot of rent fair people theater people? What
yeah,
is
I've never, difference? I've never had a theater friend that was into rent fair.
Oh, every,
but doesn't it feel the
so
same?
Many. So
it
many.
It does
of them
feel
are.
The same, but just anecdotally, I've honestly never had any theater friends that were into rent fairs. But it does feel very similar.
In high yeah. school, at our theater program, 90% of the people also worked at the rent fair over the summer.
Mm. Yeah,
and they got really into the act.
Oh God! Yeah,
and you'd
yeah.
go, and then they would just call you a whore, and you'd be like, "Well,
you're right, but whatever." So, yeah.
I think what
Will.
Happens is Shakespeare in the Park claims most of that demo, and they all stage like Othello in the woods,
yeah, yeah,
and that's
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
like what they're busy doing.
So they're theater Shakespeare rejects. The
Ren Fair people. I don't know. I don't know anything about them. I'm not going to comment on the quality of the Ren Fair people. They have a
good time.
They
I like,
seem fun.
I
yeah,
like a Ren Fair because it's very open-minded. No one is like, everyone's just like, hey man, I'm just going to like have a cod piece today. And it's like, why the fuck not? Go do your thing.
Yeah.
Nobody's a hater there. It's just funny. It's weird. I don't know.
Finding small bits of pleasure in the world.
Yeah. Do what you got to do.
You want to LARP? Go ahead. LARP
yeah,
away.
LARP
I don't
away.
Give a shit. You're not hurting
I
me.
I love the documentary about LARPing. What's it called?
Oh my God. Oh, Lightning so Bolt. Lightning
yes.
Bolt. So good.
Fascinating.
It's real good, guys.
What was that Paul Rudd movie about LARPing that was really funny?
Oh,
like
I do remember this. I do remember this. Is Role Models doesn't have a LARPing scene, does it?
I think it does.
I think it's Role Models.
I think you're right.
Role Models is a very underrated comedy.
Yes.
It is so funny.
Really
I actually
great.
Bought it on DVD.
It's really fun. I love that movie.
It's great. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Is it Sean William
Scott? David Wayne, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David Wayne directed it.
Cool.
Movie rules. It was great.
Cool.
Add it to the queue, kids. Add it to the fucking queue. Brandy, so you went to Jeff Goldblum this weekend.
Tried to go to
Jeff
Goldblum.
Oh, we were
Robin,
there the same night.
Tried.
So here's the thing. Jeff Goldblum is shooting his jazz night for something. I don't know for what. They haven't released it, but it's Jeff Goldblum, so it'll be great wherever it is. Also, there's a picture on his Instagram of his outfit. He's wearing like a black tux with like a black ruffled shirt. And
it
a
was
black,
great.
I love him so much.
It's a good
And those like
look.
Wraparound
God,
glasses, like
wish,
deeply shading
men,
his eyes.
I wish
eyes.
All men would dress like him.
Ooh, it has to be him, though.
Look.
Not everyone can pull it off.
I
He's
know,
got the
but
length
like,
for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He just
And
looks,
he is theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It just looks real fucking good. So I got alerted to it because I run the Jeff Goldblum Appreciation Society on Facebook.
What's
which I am a member.
It's like over 600 people.
What?
From all over the place. I don't know how they're finding it. It's amazing. There's a lot of teens that are also really into it that call him daddy all the time. I got a bunch of teens that call him daddy.
But that's private.
I know. It just makes me laugh.
They're doing it in a Facebook group of 600 people. It's not that private.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, leave that to
but
your
it's
own.
Just funny because, like, new people are finding him from, like, a lot of them really like him because he's Grandmaster in Thor. And I'm just like, and then somebody older will post a picture of him from, like, Jurassic Park or Indiana Jones or Independence Day. And they'll be like, what is that from? And it's like oh, God.
One
oh
of
my
the
God.
Biggest
God.
Movies of the 90s.
Yeah. Just like the generational people that are coming in with him. We didn't get to go. He got cut off. It was a bummer. Robin was there. It was really funny because I came with Tony and Kaylin, our producer. And like when they came out to say no, I went, boo! And then everyone turned around and I saw like 15 people that I knew were in the line. Tony and Kaylin were like, how do you know everybody in line for the Jeff Goldblum thing?
If I didn't mention it before, I run the Jeff Goldblum Fan Appreciation
Society.
That's how
all these people knew about this event. Yeah. I am the ringleader.
They all came here for this reason. I feel bad because one girl flew down from Oregon to go to
That's insane. And she
didn't
get in.
Yeah, she didn't get in. And I was like, did you tell them? She's like, yeah. And I was like, did you become a bitch? Because I would have yeah. demanded.
That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
Like when Lin-Manuel was still in Hamilton, mm-hmm. I was so close to just flying to New York and being like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we didn't get into Jeff Goldblum, but the night turned out really great because Julie Prescott and Mike Mayfield ended up coming with us. We had a little group and we ran into Robin over at the Star Wars Cantina bar. Because Yeah, it's on Hollywood. It's like right around the corner from where the Jeff Goldblum thing was. So we were like, Tony was like a really big Star Wars fan. So we're like, oh, we'll pop in and see this. Mm-hmm. The bar is cool. Nobody is dressed in character.
Like there was a Fifth Element girl. There was who I thought was not wearing pants. She had this
was it the white bandage dress?
No, it was I don't remember, but she was wearing like flesh colored leggings with like black. Bandages around it, but I thought she was not wearing pants. Yeah. I thought she was just like, I was like, great tip strategy. You're working this Hollywood Boulevard thing real hard.
The bartender was wearing a Batman t-shirt. I was like, you're in the Star Wars bar. So we stayed there for about 5 minutes, and then I had remembered that there is a Beetlejuice bar also in Hollywood, and I was like, how far is that? And we walk outside, and I look it up, and it was across the street in the block over. I was like, well, I guess we go to the Beetlejuice bar now.
Right, of course.
So we went in there, and it wasn't really a Beetlejuice-themed bar, but it was like Tim Burton, but like Hollywood Boulevard Tim Burton is what it felt like. Like everything, somebody bought art from a friend.
Yes. And it's bad art.
Yeah, Beetlejuice art is very easy to replicate. Art.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember I went to the Beetlejuice bar when my friend Emily was visiting, and we got so pissed because we were obsessed with that movie.
Yeah.
And we came up with 10 billion ideas that would be so much better.
It should have been so
easy
much better.
For that bar.
Yeah. Like, writes itself.
You know, when the weird hallway and the windows, when all the souls are like, you could have a window painted on that. So has cool. a thing behind it with those.
And you got to have like a
so
weird dining
shit.
Room table that everyone sits around.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like so much stuff that they like. And it's just like the
cheap
worst
things.
The worstly, the badly done.
But you know what demonstrates like that you have a lot of imagination deciding to have a bar on Hollywood Boulevard. That's like the most basic generic place that you're going to do it. Like,
but
it's never going to be a good
open?
Version.
I do not know.
Tourists. Just random
it's
people.
Tourists. Yeah. It's tourists. So we went in there and then we stayed for a few minutes and we took pictures with an Edward Scissorhands. We're like, you're not Beetlejuice, but all right. It's also definitely not sanctioned by any of it. But then I remembered that there is a Austin Powers bar in Glendale that's owned by the
same people. Taking pictures there.
So we decided, we're like, well, we're having this night, I guess. So we like bar crawled over to Glendale to the Austin Powers bar, bought an $18 milkshake.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Why is that Austin Powers themed?
I don't know.
Are you sure it wasn't the Pulp Fiction theme bar?
Should have been.
A Tarantino themed bar is definitely next.
Oh, and I hate to say it, but I'm there for it.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I am. I like Quentin Tarantino.
Unless
you
eat shit off people's feet like he would really do.
Yeah. I want a Billy Madison bar. That was the one that I was like, I would like an old 90s
a
Adam
Billy
Sandler
Madison
bar.
Yeah, that would be
like
fun.
All the birthdays that he threw out were always cool themes.
That would
like
be
that
dope.
Would be.
I mean, come
shit.
On, you guys, you got to do a Clueless
Wait,
bar.
How was the
Clueless bar? Would be great.
Right?
Austin Powers bar was like the best of the three that we went to. They have like a mural of like laser sharks, which was pretty cool. And $18 milkshake kind of fucked all of us up because we all got one and we were all just like,
you all got one?
Yeah.
Are you sure there wasn't bourbon in it?
No, I got mine. It also took them 20 minutes to make mine because mine was not boozy.
Right.
Yeah. It took mine forever. And I was like,
but that's
right,
why that's why it was $18 because it usually has alcohol in it. Yeah. Oh, that's most, a deal.
Most of them are booze milkshakes.
I love a good booze milkshake.
But they had fembots dancing on the bar, which was kind of fun.
That's cool.
And they had a mini me there, but nobody like wanted to take pictures with them because we didn't know like what
be, like,
what's the protocol. Yeah, we were like, yeah. We don't want to be disrespectful.
Also, Vern Troyer just died.
Yeah, that's a little gauche.
Yeah. It, but so
at
so,
least like at least have a picture up.
Why,
on
and why have a mini me and not a Dr. Evil? You need a Dr. Evil. There.
I know.
Yeah, but if you can only afford one, I'd prefer the mini me.
I prefer the mini me. But so it's funny because nobody wanted to take pictures with him because we like nobody knew what to do. So he was just in the corner on his phone the whole time. So I definitely have like a photo of him just on his fucking phone, which is giant in his hands, just in the corner.
And then is there an Austin Powers performing?
There was, like, but not that night. Saturday is the Austin Powers comes out. Yeah, it's weird.
Fuck all of this. This makes me so angry because we could do so much better.
It should be so much better. Also, the bar was 95% bros. There were three women total in the entire bar.
Oh, my friend
said
they went.
So I should go there to pick up.
Yeah, yes. My friend said they went. It was a total sausage fest, which is so funny.
It's really funny. I just looked up at one point. I was like, why is everyone a man in here? It was like literally me, Julia, and Kaylin.
I mean, listen, I didn't go there. I went to Mezzo and Frank's and had martinis and steak. So.
That sounds really delightful.
It was a good move.
I love Mezzo and Frank's.
It worked out really well.
We had a great time because it was just like, where are we? What's happening? And I'll never go to any of those places again. It felt like a night to hit them.
Yeah, it's like
after
it's
the Beetlejuice one, me and Emily came up, like I said, with a billion ideas. And I was like, I'm going to email them and be like, give me $1,000 and I will make your bar 10,000 times better.
Yeah.
Just like.
Did they respond?
No, I haven't done it.
You need to pitch a show to like a
makeover.
A theme bar makeover show.
That is a really good idea.
Dude, that's what Bar Rescue should have been.
Yes.
Like, oh, cool. This is the Little Mermaid bar.
Oh my
but like
God.
With the same
but
host.
Can you? I don't think like licensing you can. I don't even know if these bars are allowed to exist.
Not Big Mermaid bar.
you can kind of like it's a quote unquote bar.
Well, yeah, like the Beetlejuice one is called Beetle House, which is just like. It's weird.
I will say, because, you know, Sean's into sports, and so there's like, you know, and, you know, in general, there's bars where it's like, unofficially, this is a Yankees bar.
Yeah,
this is a Phillies bar.
That's true.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I would like more bars where it's like, this is a Whitney Houston bar. It's a Whitney Houston bar.
I would go
you know?
To that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like a cop bar, but it's a Whitney Houston.
It's a Whitney bar. Yeah. It's just like this little place in Santa Monica that has like cheap white Zin, and it's a Whitney bar.
I got to say, I was reading about her in her not finest moments. And they were like, yeah, she just locked herself in a room and was, you know, smoking and like pleasuring herself with sex toys. And I was like, all right.
Great. Whitney's my girl.
Yeah, I was like, Whitney got something in common.
I knew she had her dinner. Good for her.
Imagine smoking a butt while jerking off. That is
I think she was doing that. I don't think it was a butt she was smoking.
Yeah, probably
it
not.
Was
oh, crap.
Other things.
But no, but that requires two hands. Smoking crack
requires
two hands.
True. Well, I think
but you
could
just like put
first.
It down, then you.
She had a lot of hits. She could afford a handless machine situation.
You could just,
handless machine. Hey,
the motor bunny.
Our motor bunny.
Motor bunny startup kid. Hey, that's us. Hope you're enjoying it out there.
All right, guys, get your hands out of your pants, and we'll see you in a second.
Hey, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Jess.
And we're here with Robin.
Hi. Yeah. Sexy voice time.
Yes.
Sexy boy. Isn't it funny that a voice can be sexy? It's like such a weird.
Yeah.
How does that exist?
Yeah. It just hits weird pleasure centers.
And it's easy. It's so easy to like do to a guy, like a straight guy.
Just breathy. Just
a little. Like I have that like a joke in my set where I talk about whatever, being cast as fat girl number two in my one line of dialogue. And I say it in kind of a sexy voice. And I think people are like, huh?
I don't know if I am. I don't have a lot of confidence in my sexy voice.
Try it. Wait, let's give her something to say.
Yeah, give me something to say. This is what it is.
Hey, why don't you come over later?
That's
good.
Very come Heather.
There you go.
Very you live with the person that you're with, so I don't think you have probably not a lot of sexy voice.
Could ask these questions in sexy voices.
Ooh. Yeah.
That could be fun.
That's okay, let's ask these questions in sexy voices.
Robin, we're going to play a little game with you.
Okay.
All right. It's called Who, What, Where, When, Why.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Robin.
Yes. Yes.
This Barbara. Feels like ASMR. Yeah. Yes. Robin. Who do you seek?
I don't like it.
This is not working.
Yeah, yeah.
Robin, who do you seek out at parties?
Oh, God. Well, usually I go to the alcohol first. Yeah. Make sure that I'm well established. I mean, you just sort of, you want to mingle. I like a mingle. I like a bounce from group to group. Mm-hmm. I like to see, because I don't know, I find that I just want to end up having either like a good riffing conversation with like three or four people, or like a not intense, but like a connected conversation to one person. So I just want to find someone that I enjoy talking to and kind of do that. Often outside in a backyard or a kitchen. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of like contained spaces where everyone's just kind of all pressed up together.
Well, the kitchen has usually you've got the snacks and booze there. So that's a good place to to gather.
Do you find yourself extricating yourself from a conversation, or do you let the other person do it?
Mm. Oh, no, I go to the bathroom a lot. Yeah. Quote unquote, go to the bathroom.
Wait, do all of us, are you guys all the extricators?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
Yeah. 90% of the time,
yeah. Unless if I'm feeling really uncomfortable and I need to plant, I'll be like, I'm planting myself, people can come up to me if they want, and that's when I let the other person do the ending.
Right.
But usually I'm the one.
I feel like most people are the one that leaves, so that doesn't work out math-wise.
But maybe we block out other people leaving conversations with us, because that just hurts our feelings.
Yeah. That's the mark of a good move. And I definitely, like, I went to a party thing last night, and I had one point where I was like finishing with somebody and started a conversation with somebody else. I think that's what happens to me most of the time.
That is true. There's like the presence of somebody there.
That's
the
ideal. You have like a kind of a natural joop. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the swing shift in the conversation.
Yeah. No, Robin, I think you have you're a good bouncer around
at
parties.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I do want to talk to a lot. Like, that's why you go to a party. To talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I will say that was not a good idea for me to go to that party.
That
I had a panic attack immediately. It was so funny. I was thinking like that quote where they're like, never go to a second location. Like if you get kidnapped.
And
I will add, never go to a party if you're already drunk at your house and an ex and multiple people you fucked might be at the party.
It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as easily, but I think it's a good
quite as smooth.
Yeah, but I think it's something to really put in the noggin.
I mean, I feel like in Los Angeles, when you've been here long enough, you just have to expect to see someone you fucked at every party.
Of course.
Like, that's just...
That's
someone
usually,
you fucked at brunch, someone you fucked at the party,
every
someone you
meal,
fucked at a...
Every date, no.
I'm definitely used to that, for sure. But it was one of those things where I just was not dealing with it well with the ex, and so everyone who kept coming up to me was like, how are you? I'm like, my ex is here.
Yeah.
I was being that person, which I was like, I feel very bad about this, but I just can't help it right now.
Yeah,
you know?
It is always a bummer when you're like, I could have just stayed home. And like, you want to feel...
I made you, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. I don't care. It's fine. It was so close. Who gives a shit?
That's true.
But it was funny too, because then me and my friend left at the same time. And I think a lot of people saw us leaving to get separate lists, but I think a lot of people thought we were leaving to fuck.
I texted you this morning being
like, how was your night? And I was like, it was fine.
Sexy voice.
Okay.
Cool. All
right. Yeah. Robin's a good party person, I will say.
Thank you.
I always like seeing you at a party.
It's fun. Yeah. I enjoy you can see that I enjoy it. I like being there. I'm like, but I also I find it very easy not to go.
Yeah.
So I have to like convince myself.
That's what's nice.
That
and then you can
parties.
Serve yourself so that you really want to be there when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also leave very early if I'm not having fun. I have no problem just being like, great. See ya. And like, that's the nice thing about LA if you're driving anyway. Like, you just, or now that you can lift everywhere, you don't have to stay anywhere. You used to have to like rely on your friends and you're like, do you want to leave yet?
Do you want to leave yet?
It's fucking terrible.
Especially like those nights you go with your hoe friends and two of them are hooking up and you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll just sit here on the couch.
And you're not. And you're. And Dave, you don't want to fuck Dave.
You don't want to fuck Dave.
You don't want to fuck
Dave. But your friend's fucking Dave's friend.
Dave's the duff.
Dave is totally the duff.
Oh my God. I remember the second guy I ever kissed. Oh boy. Just shout out to Kirsten, my best friend growing up. I'm so sorry. But she, in my basement, me and Will made out for like hours and she was in the same room.
Oh no.
She was trying to study her science book or something.
Kristen.
Study her science book?
I don't know.
That's not smart, Kristen. At least go watch
book.
TV.
I don't think there was a TV down there.
Yeah, did she not have an exit route?
I don't really know why that happened. I can't remember, but for some reason maybe
we were young and thoughtless.
Yeah,
that's
when I was a freshman in college, I had this like friends with benefits that live a few floors up from me, and I was friends with his roommate as well. Like by day I was just one of the bros, but by night I would like give him blowjobs.
What a great superhero.
Right, it's great.
Where's my cake? Like every college superhero.
Yeah. But you know, this kid had a bunk bed with his roommate, and we would just hook up several nights a week, loudly. I know, but like the roommate never said anything. Like, I never even thought there's anything wrong with it.
That's what happens in college. Everyone's like hormones are too crazy to realize.
Me, I would say something about that for sure. I would be like, can you either do this when I'm not here? Like, I would be so angry.
Like, the other option is that he would have to go sleep on like the concrete. I mean, like, it's college.
Why does he go sleep in your bed?
Because I had a female roommate. I mean, my roommate was quite the prude.
Did you ever have any guys in there that she was
I mean, I was not, but we had a lot of friction because we filled out we filled out that questionnaire that was like your personality type, and I was like, I checked, like, I like to stay awake late, I like to party, I am loud, I smoke cigarettes, I checked like all the like I'm obnoxious boxes, and she was like 17 going on 60. Aww. Just loved potting plants and watching Barbara Streisand videos, and she would always get so pissed at me.
You
for
said
being
she was
drunk.
Super obsessed with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, and like half the room looked like a Martha Stewart Living catalog, and then my half was just like a Fight Club poster, like empty ramen, empty 40, and then me like just always smelling like alcohol and passed out in the bed.
Jeremy Piven in PCU.
Yeah. So I never brought boys back. I always went elsewhere.
That's nice of you, though.
It is nice. That's why I didn't have to complain, is because girls did it in guys' rooms and guys dealt with the shit.
Yeah, but you know what? I hate to stereotype, but I think maybe male roommates are cooler about that kind of thing.
I think that's probably true. Yeah, also, they can jack off. Yeah.
That's what's happening. Yeah. Cool. I'll say this for later. Awesome. Great. Sweet.
I mean, I would totally give someone a blowjob if there was another guy in the room, but I wouldn't do it to my roommate.
Oh, man.
No, I'd totally be you in that situation. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I have told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's such a nightmare and it's been a while.
I know the story. Tell it.
One time when I had a party at the house.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why this happened. There was a guy who passed on the couch for some reason, not in my room, but in the living room. I helped a man out orally. Sounds worse than saying blowjob.
Yeah. Gross. It sounds like you changed his tire.
I flossed him. And the guy who was passed out came up to me the next weekend at a party and said, "Hey, Barbara, you know, I'm not that light of a sleeper."
No.
That's very weird.
I know. And I said, "What the fuck? Get the fuck away from me." I blocked him on every social media thing. I was like, that is
disgusting.
Yeah. Don't ever fucking say that.
No.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. So put it in
the spank bank. And you know what? He was still a guest in your house.
I didn't kick you out. I let you fucking sleep on my couch. Get the fuck away. Yeah.
You can loudly suck whatever dick you want to suck in your own fucking living room. Without comment.
Yeah. And if he had been cool about it, he would have been like, "So you had fun at the party last night."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not that light.
I could hear you.
And like, I've definitely heard friends having sex before, and I don't think I ever said anything.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Well, I mean, I asked you to say something, but yes.
Most performances don't need a Yelp review. You know, like, we're not interested.
I feel like that is something that the Transylvanian phlebotomist would say. You know, I'm not that light of a sleeper. Yeah. Right before they, like, suck your blood.
Yeah, no, seriously. I'm testing it. Hey, everyone listening out there, just don't be a fucking creep.
I have good faith in our listeners.
Yeah, me too. If you're worried about being a creep and you think this might be creepy, don't do it.
Or just ask someone before you do it. Yeah. Just be like, "Hey, is this creepy to say this thing?" And someone's going to be like, "Yeah."
Can you imagine that guy going up and saying, "Hey, do you think I could say this to that girl?"
Yeah, that gets creepier, to be honest. Just don't.
I guess that's true.
Let me run this by.
Yeah, and like, I get it. Yeah. If you are unfortunate enough to be the third wheel in a situation where people are fucking in front of you, it's not ideal.
Or what you do is passive aggressively what I would do, which is just like make a lot of noise, like rolling over and just like check my phone, you know, just like just do stuff to let them know. I'm here. I'm not a rock. I'm on your couch.
Yeah. Got a couple of sticks. Ooh, just hit them together. There you go.
I forgot about that other time, Barb. That's not even the time I was thinking of.
What other time were you thinking of?
Do you really want me to say?
I don't know.
Camping?
I don't know.
Right on a piece of paper.
Oh, the camping too.
I don't think I want to know.
That is an after podcast conversation.
That's a break support.
That is the lady to lady after dark.
Yes, yes. This is the extra.
We've already been talking about blowjobs for 15 minutes, but that's the one you can't tell until later.
Never.
All right, let's do another cue here. Sexy voice, one of you guys.
Okay. Robin. Oh, yes. Go ahead. Okay.
What makes a good boss?
What? I wasn't prepared to come and talk about a professional status situation. What makes a good boss?
Yeah.
In your opinion.
Someone who's clear. Someone who's not passive aggressive. Someone who can. Someone who can explain what they want, so you can achieve what they want. So you can actually give them the things that are going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. You don't want a micromanager, but you want someone who sets an expectation. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again in different words. Clearly, it means a lot to me. But like everyone knows what their job is generally once they're hired to do a job. You're hired because you know the nuts and bolts of it. You're going to have to learn stuff as you go. You want someone who is not so intimidating that you can't ask questions. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like a good manager. But I think that's also kind of being a good person.
Yeah.
Like a good communicator.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's almost similar to like what's good in any relationship is just like knowing how to articulate what you want without being shitty about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And being like, and again, being able to navigate any sort of interpersonal differences without being shitty, without being dismissive, without being rude, without being belittling.
For sure.
But still also say whatever you need to say and don't just kind of sit on it and get resentful.
And I think also like, maintaining a little bit of a distance for me is also something I really like on a boss. Like, I don't want a boss to like become my BFF because then I feel like there's a weird pressure of like you needing to do more work because they're a friend now. Mm. Like, I've had that happen a couple of times and I really resent it.
I've had a couple of good boss friends, but if it's like a job that I naturally like, then I sort of like having that relationship.
I mean, you can
like,
be friendly.
If it's something that I'm passionate about, then I kind of like it being a friend that I'm working under so that, because it's like, it's not something I'm trying to cheat. Because there's certain bosses where it's like, if this is a job where it's just like, I'm just here for the money. I'm here to screw over your company. Not that I'd ever do that.
I love that. That taking the money for providing a service is considered screwing over the company. Not giving them everything about you is screwing over the company.
I'm not landing the interview. Yeah, I do feel that I do a very good job at screwing over your company.
I'm a perfectionist, and I'll screw over your company.
Here's an example. I got fired from a job. I had this like grown-up job way too early. I had this job at Amgen, which is a biotech company, when I was 18. I had my own office. You know
what?
Yeah, I worked in the department. Like we would bribe doctors to give.
You were a pharmaceutical rep.
I wasn't a rep, but I worked in the department. I was like in that anyway, and like I got fired because like it was my first job where like you didn't have to clock in, you just had shit you had to do in like an office and shit. And I would show up with my G-string hanging out of my skirt, just like hung and I would do these like film shoots on the weekend, and I'd be like, no, don't worry, I got crafty. And I would just jack all the paper cups out of the break room. I would take all the pretzels. That's what I mean, screwing over the company.
Right.
If it's that situation,
I don't want to be your friend at all.
No,
for sure.
No, definitely
for sure.
Not. Definitely
Have
not.
You guys ever been a boss? Yeah. I guess you were a boss then.
I've been a boss several times,
I don't think I ever have.
I've been kind of a boss.
Yeah,
kind of, but not like for a, you know what I mean? Like a job. I can think of like giving people orders, but not in like I was their superior. You know?
I was briefly Sean's superior at MTV.
Ooh,
like, I need you to get these edits back to me, please.
Yes, sir.
I've been a boss a couple of times. It's usually like when I hire people that I know too, to be like, hey, I trust you.
Yeah.
That is the best magic trick in the world in LA when like if you have a non-entertainment job and then you need to bring in people and then you're like, oh no, I have hundreds of people that I could bring in that are all very intelligent and hard workers, but they just don't want to do this full time.
Right.
Like I used to work in marketing and I swear I would just bring in like people for like everyone would always ask me if they had somebody they need to hire for like a part-time short-term thing, and they'd be like, everybody you bring in is so good. And I'm like, yeah. None of them will work here full time.
No.
But they're like,
and they need
capable,
the money.
And they're smarter than you. Yeah. So like, but yeah, people would always hit me up for that. It always felt pretty good.
LA has to be one of the world capitals of like smart people who need money.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And aren't making any on the thing that they love.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Okay, Robin.
Okay.
Where were you while we were getting high?
Getting high with you.
That's correct.
Thank you. I mean, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be right on that table.
Do you feel like you sniff out the weed pretty well at a party?
I think I used to. I think those days are behind me. Like now I'll still just like, if it's there, I'm very happy to take part. But right. there was definitely, but also like when I was young, mm-hmm. you had to find you had to go and find a drug dealer.
Yeah, it was not.
You had to like call a person. Mm-hmm. You had to like, you never knew if you were going to get it or not. It was like you bought big amounts in advance and split it up with your friends because you didn't want to have to go through that weird transactional thing where you sit on a guy's couch and you like meet him in a car or, you know.
Yeah.
But the pot smokers at a party were always really obvious because they were standing in a fucking circle. And just like you could just smell it. It wasn't like California where it's just all everywhere all the time.
I miss like the old man I used to go by it from when I first moved here. He would like make brownies for you.
Aww.
And he was like this old gay guy who had this like younger boyfriend who would always be there watching Wheel of Fortune with him. That was kind of like a fun excursion.
That is cute. You know? Where did you find him?
I think some comics friend, like I think Sean Perlman knew him or something.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
My last like drug dealer in LA was this kid who I think was like a teenager. He might have been a literal teen. And I was always like going to Walgreens to meet. I forget this kid's name, but I was always waiting around
at Walgreens.
Yeah, like he would always make me, it was like in parking lots and shit like that. And he was not punctual. And like we had kind of
big surprise.
Rarely
a pothead's not punctual.
Yeah, and I would like wait around in Walgreens for 2 hours, and then have to drive around the block with him while he told me about how he's going to like guitar engineering school. And
that's expensive. You got to pay for it somehow.
I was so happy to finally go to the weed doctor.
Seriously,
and, I mean, Jesus Christ, never look back.
Let's do this last one because I think this is a good one.
Okay.
For Robin, why can't we quit the internet?
Oh God, because it hits all of our pleasure centers all the time. Like it just is just designed to be addictive and we have become so dependent on it. And the problem is things that we used to be able to do by ourselves, now we just funnel through our phones and our computers. So even if we don't need this like device to kind of do it, that's where we go for everything. Mm-hmm. And
what do you
mean
things we used to do by ourselves?
I mean, you used to like read a book instead of, or like, you know, read a new, like a physical newspaper, but now we get news from our phones. Mm-hmm. So we just automatically go to our phone for everything. Right. Like I don't need to immediately, as I think of it, decide where you get the best tacos in Los Angeles, but I will think of it and know that I have that information in the palm of my hand.
Yeah, I can look it up
and just
there.
Go to it right away. So we're just so conditioned to go to the internet for everything. And it feels like you're naked when you don't have access to it. I mean, it's also a function of like the way we've all chosen to live. Like I have friends who are not in entertainment who are much more normal about it.
Yeah, and way less attached.
Yeah, and just have like a much healthier relationship to it. And I mean, granted, a lot of them have kids, so they just have like if you have the kids, if you have kids, you become so conscious of looking at a phone instead of looking in their cute little eyes. Like you're oh, this is me being a bad mother looking at my phone.
So you're
instead
saying
of
our phones are our children.
Kind of. Yeah. Right.
I was just imagining like taping a picture of a baby on my desk so I would look into its eyes instead of my phone.
I'm
cut out its eyes
faces.
And put your phone behind it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean we're fucked. We're totally fucked.
You said we feel naked without it, but I don't necessarily know that because like, you know, when you go camping and you don't have reception, I don't really feel weird not having it.
I feel great in that situation.
I really
like it when I adjust quickly too, but then the second I'm back where I have reception, I'm like,
What have I missed? And it's like the little dopamine hits you get when you get a text or when you get like a notification for anything or when anyone likes anything.
It's really addicting.
You do.
They've done like studies with kids and stuff where kids are like fucked up because of it.
I mean, scary. I think I'm fucked up because of it.
I have no doubt that our depression and anxiety is so much worse
tied
because
to
of it.
It
has to be. It was really hard for me to have a self. Like, that's an impulse that's very hard for me to control. In general, most of mine are, but that's up there for sure. Yeah, and it is like, it is like almost any other bad habit where I'll be like, I'm not going to do it. And then once I look, I'm like, well, I already looked. I may as well just stay here for the next hour.
I think it's also like, okay, so I heard someone talking about being addicted to food. Mm-hmm. You need to eat. Yeah, I feel like this is the kind of, it's a very, very similar thing. You can't cut it out of your life because we need it professionally.
And that's a problem too.
Whereas if it's like cigarettes, let's say you're trying to quit smoking cigarettes, all you have to do is not smoke cigarettes. That's like the only thing you have to do. Whereas to not use your phone, you have to not take phone calls. You have to not, you know, I mean, there's just all of these other things that you're so accustomed to doing that are part of that same package. That, I mean, yeah, like other addiction, like again, I took a year off drinking. Like it was a thing. It was just, that was the only thing I didn't have to do. I could do whatever else I wanted and it was fine, but they all just feed into each other and it's a ball of mess.
It's like we need to separate our personal phone from our
work phone.
Professional phone.
That's the dream. I mean, I would love to be rich enough to just not have a phone.
Yeah.
I know.
Just hand my phone to someone else.
Be like
someone
a Christopher Nolan. Someone just like sends all your emails for you.
But I would still, my thing, I love my celebrities on Instagram. Like that is like, I love.
Like, well, it's funny because like we say, like Britney has limited access. So you would have only access to like Britney. That would be your access.
I would just like that. Yeah. I just want like my Britney, my Miley, my Rihanna, my Beyonce. Right. Like I just Channing. I like, I really enjoy that scroll.
I bet they can make that phone because they have that like old person phone where you program the different numbers for the different names. It's like one is your son. Two is your daughter, and they only have
those
four buttons.
Giant buttons.
Yeah,
but that's for if you call people.
Yeah, like, but they could do that for like. Just
I would
Instagram.
Definitely take a phone with only
Rihanna.
Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love a phone with just the gram, and maybe my audiobooks. Yeah, I do like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts. You do need the internet. For
See, now we're all.
Oh, this thing that we're on right now is on the internet.
If you guys do anything else, just get a phone with only Lady to Lady podcast on. We're going to start marketing.
We should start selling iPhones like how you two sold those iPods that came with the album.
With Just Us on it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Apple, if you're listening, and I know that you are. I know
or Bono, if you can get us a deal.
Yeah.
Wait, have I talked about on here about how I got a used iPhone?
Yeah, and it was like there was shit. Yeah, you bought it new and they tried to sell it to you?
Yeah, Sean got me a phone for my birthday.
Oh my God.
I like called because I couldn't figure out how to set up my contacts. And the Apple guy was like, oh, the Apple Care has already expired on this phone. Somebody else already owned this phone for like years. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And he was like, go into Verizon and talk to them about it. So I go into Verizon. I'm like, yeah, you also sold me like a used phone. And they were like, yeah, we do that. I was like, what?
They put it in a box and pretend it's new.
They put it in
a box.
Yeah.
Fuck Verizon.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's, you know, I really do like to give reverse shout outs on this show. So a reverse fucking shout out to Verizon for being in the practice of selling used iPhones.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they gotta tell you. They just gotta tell you.
And because at first they were like, what? And then the guy got on the phone and like directly in front of me, he goes, yeah, this woman's here. We sold her a used phone.
Oh my God.
Which is fine if you know that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
You buy it, you're buying refurbished.
Yeah.
And then you get the deal and you know that you've
you get
said
the
that.
Deal.
We
you
didn't get the deal. We didn't get the deal.
You have to get the deal. Yeah.
But I will tell you guys this. Do you think I followed through on getting a new phone?
No.
That's right.
Still got that
I mean, you wouldn't have asked the question if you had followed through. That was a dead, that was a real tell. But I respect that.
I was just like, yeah, it's probably fine.
Is it fine? Did you?
It's fine so far.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't feel like dealing with it. Yeah. I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have that in your back pocket for like whenever, if something does happen.
That's true.
You can always go in and out and be like, hey, you sold me an old phone. That's not what I bought.
And they're like, this phone's been dead for 1,000 years.
The call is coming from inside the phone.
Inside the phone.
All right, you guys, we will be back after this. We're back. I'm Tess.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
And we're with Robin.
Hi.
Hey. So we all obviously have our lives together completely. So why don't we give some advice to other people?
Yeah. If you have lady problems, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
That's right.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. Can you help me out with what I have been referring to as my chicken or the egg problem? My boyfriend and I are ready to take the next step in our relationship, but we disagree about what that next step should be. He would like to move in together while I would like to get engaged. This is such an emotion-based disagreement that there seems to be no beginning, no end, and no real compromise. Here is the background. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years, and even before we were dating, we are the type of friends where strangers would always assume we were a couple. We are lucky to have a relationship with tons of open communication, so we seem to be on the same page that we want to be engaged by the end of this year. I don't care about the ring or the proposal or the wedding. I just want to marry this man. I had even teased that if he didn't propose by his 30th birthday, I would propose to him, but he strongly feels he wants to go through the traditional motions, and I would never want to deny him that. I am the planner in our couple, so I have pulled together a guest list, sent him ring options, and in my attempt at an olive branch, even booked tours at potential apartments. But as we continue to talk about our future and generally prepare ourselves to start our lives together, we found an apartment that we love and are strongly considering moving into right before my boyfriend's 30th birthday. My original, I promise I won't steal your thunder by proposing you before this date deadline. I now feel like I'm being asked to / forced to give up on something that is important to me. My boyfriend says he understands and has been incredibly patient with me wanting to talk about this difference of opinions far more often than he would probably like. He has also assured me that he has been putting in the emotional labor. Yes, I'm lucky enough to have the feminist partner who uses terms like that to shorten his own internal timeline between when we might move in and get engaged. But I worry that every week/month that goes by where we share a space but aren't engaged will just drive me crazy and breed resentment or confusion. My question is this. Am I making too big a deal out of this? Should I just come to terms with the fact that this order of operations is just how things are done in today's world? What emotional labor should I put in to be satisfied with taking one step in the right direction, even if it isn't as big a step as I want? Thank you for your help. Okay, what is the question?
She wants that they're going to get engaged by the end of this year.
And he wants to move in. Okay.
But they decided they're going to get engaged.
Right.
But she doesn't want to move in together without being engaged.
Yeah.
And he's more focused on getting an apartment.
Yeah.
And is not down to, like, propose on her timeline.
Yeah.
I'm confused, though, because if they've already agreed they want to get engaged by the end of the year, then isn't that what that means?
Yeah. Like, so, yes. I mean, I'm kind of on her side. Like, if they already agreed that they're going to get engaged, and, like, this is... It seems like it's something that's important to her that she be engaged before they move in together. Like, that seems like something that's important to her. They seem like they have already agreed that they're going to get engaged. I think he should just fucking propose to her. Like, why are you...
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
Buying a ring is really fucking expensive. Yes. It's your 2 months of your salary, and that's really hard to save.
I'm not saying she should demand a ring. I mean, I think that maybe the compromise is, like, it's really important to me that we get engaged. I'm not about, like, the ring right now. I just need to know that we're engaged, even if it's, like, with, like, a dime store ring or whatever, until we can afford something nicer.
But if that's not how he sees it. Yeah, but is she going to be posting online, like, here's my in-between ring. I just got engaged.
Well, that would be a shitty move. I don't think so. I mean, I know lots of people who've gotten engaged with a simple ring.
I mean, I guess I feel like, what if he has, like, an idea of how he wants this to go, but he just can't afford it right now, and then he's being asked to, like, change the way that he wants to do it and cheapen. This is also a big moment for him, too. You know, like I
didn't have, you know, I was fine living with my partner before being engaged. But I know for some people that is something that they're not comfortable with. So if that is something that's important to you, I mean, I do know people that just don't feel. And honestly, if getting engaged is a priority for you, I do think moving in slows it down a little
but
bit.
But I guess the question to ask yourself is why. Is the engagement the important thing for you? If you have a partner that you feel is there for you, is very supportive, is committed to you. And I understand. I mean, it's just not clear from the letter why the engagement is this threshold that she feels their relationship needs to cross for her to be comfortable with it. And I
think the counterpoint is, why is it a threshold that he won't cross?
Because it's a lifetime commitment.
But if they've agreed they're getting engaged by the end of the year and she doesn't want to share an apartment with a man,
they should just not get an apartment and they should just wait and be chill.
Yeah.
And, like, just wait until that's that's ready.
Because... But I feel like if they've had the discussion, like, it'd be one thing if they hadn't had the discussion that they're going to get engaged by the end of the year, but it is kind of like, why is he doing that to her? She's made it clear she wants to get engaged. I don't think she should demand a big ring by any means. I think part of wanting to get engaged on a fast timetable means you need to be down with, like, a very, very simple, maybe even no ring, you know?
Mm-hmm. But 2 years is not a long time.
It's really not.
That's totally relative, though. I mean,
but they've also known each other a long time.
Yeah. I don't think that that's, I mean, that weird, but I mean, I don't think, I think that there's plenty of reason why he can't afford a big ring right now.
Sure.
And as someone who's planning a wedding, they're so fucking expensive.
Yeah.
I will say, girl, are you sure you want that right now? Because, like, that is...
Yeah.
a lot of time and a lot of money you're going to be spending on that.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. But unless you want to do a simple wedding too. But
I mean, I think it's totally fine to set a threshold of I want to be engaged before we move in together.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Well, but saying mm-hmm. You have to get engaged to me now because we found yeah. this apartment, to me seems like putting the chicken before the, or the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe you guys should also have a conversation about what marriage means to both of you. Like, I don't know what either of your backgrounds are. Is he from a family of divorce? Or have his parents been together? Marriage, like, the idea of it fucks him up in some way. Like, is there, you know, like, you guys could be coming, seeing what marriage could mean, something is completely different to both of you guys.
And talk about what engagement means.
Yeah.
Because, again, are you getting engaged to not get married for 5 years? Or yeah. is that something that makes you feel more secure? Like, what is... Mm-hmm. What will make you feel secure? Like, what will make you feel like you're both committed to the relationship and mm-hmm. you're happy to be there? And I think it is an ultimatum from anybody is very, very difficult mm-hmm. in any way. And especially if you are both totally engaged in this relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, taking a next step is important yeah. to show that you're both in it to win it.
For sure.
I don't know that she's really putting an ultimatum though. I think she said what she wanted. I mean, I don't think it's like move in or we don't get this apartment. Before they started looking for apartments, she said she wanted to get engaged. And it's so easy to go the other way and not say that. And like mm-hmm. you could.
Oh, no, totally say what you feel.
Yeah. Like that is, you know, I know a lot of people who aren't open about the fact that they want to get proposed to. And like that is as long as you've been with someone, that's still like a big scary thing that they have to do. And like mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people when they want to get proposed to don't realize that their partner might not realize that they want to get engaged.
Yeah.
They just think, oh, I'll just let it get figured out. And they really do need to know that that's what you want. So I think like it's good that she's being open about that.
Great communication, great clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, but I agree. Like maybe just talking like why is he so against getting engaged right now? That's not really clear like what the reason is.
Well, and also it to me it feels like he's also about to turn 30, and that's a big mm-hmm. moment in your life, too. He could just be very overwhelmed by all of this because it's like he's turning 30. You want to get engaged. Engaged means marriage. What does that timetable look like? And you're getting a place together. Like, this is like a whole new decade, and all of this shit is changing at once. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot. And, you know, it might take him longer to get to where you are with that. You know? I mean, I don't know.
It's confusing. Yeah. It's really hard to know what to say because it seems like it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, so it either happens now or it happens in 3 months. I don't really know.
Yeah, it seems like...
So it seems like it's on the table either way.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure what...
So that's why I'm like on her side, because I'm like, if it's just going to happen in 3 months,
right,
this
why,
dude just needs to fucking...
But then that means that to me, there is a good reason for him that he's not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, also, to me, it's like, I feel like a lot of guys need to feel like they have their affairs in order before they make that move. And if he's about to move, he's like turning 30, he has a lot of things up in the air. So mm-hmm. he's not in like a very, he's not in like a stable place where like, okay, cool. Like I could see him just being like, logistically, I want to get to a place where everything is settled and now we can do this thing.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know without knowing his reasoning.
I guess if you haven't had that conversation with him, ask him. But I guess that's what's confusing me about the emails. They have talked about it and they want to get married this year. They want to get engaged this year.
But also there's so much time left in this year. There's like another 7 months left in this year.
Yeah.
We're not even halfway through.
It is though. I mean, I'm just saying like as someone who just went through a year of like being ready to get like just it's fucking nerve-wracking, and it's like just mm-hmm. put a fucking whatever it means to you, put a ring on this woman's finger. It's nerve-wracking and it's stressful because you never know when it's gonna happen, mm-hmm. when you're gonna have to start planning, that not knowing is very stressful. So what seems like oh fuck it, it's 3 months to him is 90 days of
her a long time.
Not mm-hmm. knowing what the fuck is going on, thinking every baseball game she's gonna be on the motherfucking jumbotron, thinking every time dessert gets ordered there might be a ring in it. Just give her a fucking ring and let her relax. Like if it really is just gonna be 3 months, like give the bitch a break.
Right.
I understand that perspective, but I'm also if you want to be proposed to in a traditional way.
Yeah.
Then I mean she was saying that she was willing to take that plunge. I feel like it's so much pressure to take a bit. I mean, again, he's just turning 30. Like that may be
just turning 30 in some parts of the country just turning 30
completely.
You can fucking move in with somebody somebody at 30 years old.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm totally fine with them doing either of those things.
Yeah.
Either of those things.
It's not like they're 22.
No.
I mean,
no, it's just like there's a lot of stuff up there. Or maybe he has like an idea of how he's always wanted a proposal to go down. And being told it needs to happen, but on this timeline, like, is taking away, like, the mystery or the romance from him. Like, he sounds like he's, like, a good dude that's probably pretty romantic.
Can he write in? I'm very curious now. Yeah. I want to hear his side of the story.
I would like to hear his side of the story. Yeah, I mean, but I just do. Again, I can't. I wasn't in that situation when I moved in with Sean. Like, I definitely didn't care about being engaged before we moved in together. But I think that it's important that her partner recognizes that that is important to
her. And she seems very thoughtful about it and, like, very kind of has went into, like, a lot of detail about why, sort of, about the steps and about the conversations they've had and about the reasons that he's great, which is always, I think that's always reassuring to hear that about someone, because you do hear so many of these letters that it's like, my boyfriend won't propose. I don't know what he wants. I don't know what I'm going to do. They know what they want, which is a really nice situation to be in.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I don't know. I know couples that have moved in together and have broken up after they've lived together.
Yes. You learn things about people
that you don't know otherwise. Or like that's when they realize, oh, this was fun and I didn't know that I was going to get married, but when I moved in with that person, that's when I knew for sure it was going to get married. Like, you know, so.
I agree, but also I think that like that her stance should be respected. I agree. I'm with you on that for myself, but I know I have friends that believe this, that they want to be engaged before they move in with someone. And
Just wait 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably why she wants that, because she doesn't want this like weird, like, oh, I want to see what it's like to live with you before I fly the coop or something.
Yeah. I mean, I almost, like, because I lived with a boyfriend for a long time before Sean, and I told myself I wasn't going to move in with a guy again until I was engaged. Mm-hmm. After that, like, shit of extricating that, I didn't stick to it, but I held out probably for longer than I would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a fucking pain in the ass. Just, you know, moving an apartment that you're shacking up in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it is just a matter of like you guys need to have further discussion about the issue. Like you just need to delve a little further into what his hesitance is around. I mean, whether it's the proposal or him not feeling like he has enough money there's some reason that he's not doing it right now. So I think you just need to.
Yeah. Maybe he's like not in a place where he's ready to like be the provider that he feels like he needs to be. Like, what do you mean to each other in this relationship? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's any number of things you guys need to keep talking about. And also, his opinions are also valid. Like, how he feels is also valid in this, too. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have any idea how anyone has ever gotten together. I don't understand.
I mean, I bought a house with my boyfriend instead of getting married, so.
Yeah. It's all a mystery to me.
There's any number of ways.
Too, but I like to give advice about it. I have a lot of thoughts about
everything.
This
could go down a million ways. I mean, some people have kids before they even call them their boyfriend. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's all. Well,
but also, it's like, it's very America-specific. Like, the focus on marriage is, like, it's very particular. Again, like, I was just in the UK, and. Mm-hmm. Most of the people I know just refer to their partner.
Yeah.
They're not married. They live together. They have kids together. They have lives together.
Yeah.
And it's just like a different way to do it. But it has always been like a very American thing to be like, here are the steps that we need to take to feel like we're setting up a life together. Yeah. And so I understand why those have like this big significance as life events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But sometimes it creates more anxiety because you feel like you need to be at a certain stage or you feel like you need to tick these particular boxes to have your life on track when being with someone that you love and care about who is supporting you and respectful of you and making sure that you're prioritized is pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely get obsessed with those timelines or whatever the fuck, or goals
And sometimes they're kind of arbitrary. Again, it's like what you feel to reduce your own anxiety and to feel confident and comfortable. That's what's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but good luck. I mean, it sounds like you guys still have a good thing, and I know this is a struggle, but it seems like you're going to come out on top either way, so keep it up. And if he wants to tell us his side of the story.
Yeah.
More than free to write
in. Tell him to write it.
Yeah. Curious to hear it.
Good luck. I hope you get engaged soon.
Yeah.
Robin, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
On all the social medias, I am @RobinSomething, RobinSomething.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
Thanks.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.